While 90s R&B has its viral appeal, people forget the magic that the 2000s gave us, especially when it comes to the R&B subgenre neo-soul. Nobody gave us an album as groovy and infectious as Maxwell in 2001's Now. After a relatively lackluster reception to his second album, Embria, the pressure was on for Maxwell to deliver a successful third album, and he did just that. Between groovy R&B tracks and heartbreaking ballads, this album is the perfect soundtrack for your wine night. So, pour a glass, maybe even cuddle up with that special someone if you have one. If not, yourself is just fine. And let's get into Maxwell's Now, right now. From pop stars and boy bands to alt rockers and rappers, the 2000s had a bit of something for everyone. So it's no wonder that decades later, the same power of the music released has been so strong. I'm Michael Kadosh, and I want to welcome you to my musical time machine, where I deep dive into some of the best albums released in the 2000s. And I may even be joined by some special guests here and there. This is Planet 2000s.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Planet 2000s podcast. I am so excited to be speaking about the Now album today. Maxwell is one of my favorite artists, you guys. I love, love, love R&B music. This is really exciting. I don't really get to do too much neo-soul on this podcast. I know I've done Brandy a few times, but this is going to be the first male R&B artist besides for Craig David. We're going to be talking about Now, which was Maxwell's third album. And it was released on August 21st, 2001 on Columbia Records. He, like I said in this intro, had a lot of pressure going into this record. His previous album, the 1998 experimental R&B album Embria, received a lukewarm critical reception upon its release. Although the funny thing is that Now, it's highly regarded as one of the greatest 90s R&B albums of all time.
You know, it was, there is pressure, there's always pressure, but you know, you just gotta do what you gotta do and you cross your fingers, and as long as you like what you're about and what you're trying to represent, then hopefully everybody else will as well, you know.
Maxwell wanted to pursue a different musical direction, abandoning the conceptual style of both of his previous albums and going for a more straightforward, contemporary R&B neo-soul sound.
I just wanted to make music. I just wanted to make something that kind of expressed that moment that I went through, whatever I was going through, to put together a sound that is about an emotional place that you're coming from. It's just to give people a feeling of something, whatever it is that is, just something. To me, the now is, which is the past, the future, and the present, all in one ball. And the now is eternal for me. It's kind of like what makes the past better and what makes the future brighter. Just kind of letting things be, you know, letting the randomness of things kind of be what they are, and then through time it becomes perfect. This time around for me, I really want to kind of paint a more accurate picture of who I am. I'm romantic, there's no doubt about it. I am a hopeless romantic, but I'm a lot realer than I think I may come off to people or seem to people. Being in the studio is just, it's too tedious, you know? Though I can kind of be up in it and keep it going. I think probably I might want to do something like a live record or something like that down the road. Because I can't imagine myself kind of getting back in again and, you know? It might be cool to just kind of invite people during the recording process and just do takes and then have them be there, like while you're there.
Maxwell didn't love being in the studio, as, you know, he's a perfectionist, and that's why his albums took so much time to make. It's a tedious process for him, and every time that he would be in that studio, he gave his all. You know, as a writer-producer, kind of like Mariah Carey, you're in there, you're in that studio, and you're giving your all in. It's so vulnerable, so emotional, and it's a lot of work, and you don't see the daylight sometimes, these artists, you know, the true artists. Maxwell was one of those people, so he actually didn't love making albums. He loved performing. He loved singing live. He loved singing. But making albums is a tedious process for him. All tracks on the Now album were written by Maxwell himself, Hogg David, and Stuart Matthewman. Now, Maxwell covered Vibe magazine in April 2001, and the headline was "The Mystery Behind the Music." And they say in the article, "With the release of his third album Now, Maxwell returns with focused self-awareness, emotions, consciousness, and love fuel his musical mystique."
It was more like about respecting randomness, you know, like when you look at the sky, the clouds are kind of where they're at, but they kind of hang there perfectly. So it was about kind of letting go of all the ideas of that you have to make everything fit, because it will fit if it's you, you know, so it was kind of like that.
There were three singles released from the album, Get to Know Ya, Lifetime, and This Woman's Work. Why don't we get into the singles? As always, coming up next on Planet 2000s. The first single that was released off the album Now was Get to Know Ya, and it was released on February 15th, 2001. Maxwell recorded it in the summer of 2000, and the song is a mix of soul, R&B, and funk, just like all the other songs in the album, except for This Woman's Work, which is the cover. It was written by Maxwell, Hog David, and Stuart Matthewman. Maxwell is an underrated remix king, by the way, so every single one of his singles have reworkings that are just as innovative and melodically strong as their originals, something that Mariah Carey does very well, as I say. I know I've mentioned Mariah a few times, but I swear the artistry between Mariah Carey and Maxwell is so parallel and so similar, and ask Maxwell, he will say how much he adores and looks up to Mariah Carey as an artist. For Get to Know Ya, the track got an unsung mix, which is essentially the instrumental, a radio edit, and there was a Rock Wilder remix, which was a bit more of an up-tempo groove to the already groovy, funky song. Lyrically, the song explores his desire to establish a deeper connection with a woman who he is attracted to. Others may try to attract her with material things, but Maxwell, he's different, as most guys are in these R&B songs. He wants to connect on a more personal level. He may not fit her usual type, but he's determined to get her attention. I love a man who knows what he wants. I wish a man would do that for me. At least that I was interested in as well. I guess, you know, you better be careful what you put out there. The song exudes passion while still maintaining Maxwell's vulnerability. It is actually believed that he wrote the song during a period of newfound love and self-reflection in his life, but I guess only he could be the one to tell you that. The song peaked at number one on the Bubbling Under Hot 100 singles chart, which would be the equivalent to charting at number 101 on the overall charts. The song did, however, reach some mediocre success on the R&B charts, where it reached number 25. The second single off the Now album, which many people consider to be the signature song off this album, was Lifetime. It is the highest charting single from this record, and it is the most successful commercially, although his third single, the Kate Bush This Woman's Work cover, in my opinion, is way more signature to Maxwell and his sound and live shows. I'd argue that his version is even more signature to him than Kate's is to her, and it's her song. The track Lifetime, however, back to that song, is a perfect blend of soul, R&B, and neo-soul with a gentle and melodic composition, and it perfectly complements the lyrics if you take a listen to it and you really pay attention. It matches perfectly. The song was released as the second single officially on October 16, 2001, but the video did come out in August of 2001. The song was co-written by the trio that did the entire album, as I said earlier in the show, and it tells the story of a man who got his heart broken and is contemplating whether he will do in his misery and heartbreak and let his life pass him by, or he can get down and try to work it all out this lifetime. See what I did there? Will he work it out with this girl? It's a love that lasts a lifetime.
Lifetime is pretty much, you know, one of those songs. It's kind of like a crossroads kind of song, you know. As you live, you know, this happens to you and that happens to you. I know if you push through or like move on, you can sometimes kind of push things back and not look at them as clearly as you should. And Lifetime is about looking at all your demons and kind of saying, you know what, I see you, I know you, and now I'm past you.
I see you, I know you, I'm past you. I love that. I really am taking that lesson with me today in terms of relationships, just in terms of my own personal life and my own relationship journey and being single. I definitely have my own traumas with guys, with people that I date. And so I see you, I know you, and I'm past you. The soulful ballad explores the essence of a lifelong connection, celebrating the timeless bond that are shared between two people and a love that can transcend time, whether you are with this person still or not. The track continues to delve into that concept of an endearing love and the idea that true connections are not bound by time. The song, it's kind of a reflection of his belief in the power of everlasting love. Some of my favorite lyrics are, I'm a jaded lady, you're a jaded man, but baby, when we're together, it all cancels out. Tell me that we're not all fucking jaded when it comes to love. At least those who are single. Even those who are in relationships, you know, not everything is as pretty as it seems, right? Another lyric that I loved from this song is, I'd rather be blind than to see how much you mean to me. Which sometimes seeing how much somebody really means to you can be even fucking scarier. Maxwell always had a hard time capturing his music to a visual, and he truly puts his entire soul into his sound. It isn't always easy to capture that through a visual perspective. Remember, Maxwell was coming up in a time where making videos was extremely important, and he wasn't really cut from that cloth. He was more the artist.
But I think music sometimes can be like a book, you know, like a good book. Like when you read a book, it's like nobody could create the character like you could create the character in your mind. I think that sometimes we rob people of the opportunity to just marry their lives into the music the way the back in the day used to be. But I understand, you know, we have to move forward and,
yeah,
you know, it's a new world, but I hope that we don't always make videos mean, you know, too much. You know, I think that nowadays it's like people want videos to be flyer than the song sometimes. Yeah. You know, so.
You think they should leave it to the imagination sometimes?
Yeah, you know, or go to a concert, you know, check somebody
out.
Yeah,
like Maxwell's going to be on tour. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We're going to throw to AJ, see what the audience thought about the new video, Lifetime.
All right.
The video was directed by Steve Ramser, and it takes place in New York, opening on a rainy night. There's shots of Maxwell turning on a lamp in his condo, interwoven with rain, and shots of young women on a subway train. We get shots of him in a car driving around. It fits that velvety neo-soul vibe very well, even though he didn't love the video.
It's basically, you know, growing up and just getting through all the BS that you feed yourself as a youngster, and you're trying to move through life and just kind of get more grounded in yourself and, you know, and your goals, and just trying to make a real commitment to a lady in the right way. You know, we shot it in New York City. I mean, to be real frank with y'all, I wish it could have been better, and I'm gonna keep it real.
Why is that?
But we're gonna work to make it better.
Okay.
But you know what, it's about truth, right or wrong.
True that.
Okay,
right?
I'm done.
You know, you try, and sometimes it's what you want, and sometimes it's not. But, you know, we keep striving, and I hope you like it. But I'm going to keep working at it.
Whatever you're in,
we're
going
to
love. Stop playing.
Yeah, he thought he could be better. He's a perfectionist, like I told you guys earlier when I was talking about the song. That's why he's only released 5 albums in 28 years. He is a perfectionist. The song reached number 22 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, and it also reached number 5 on the U.S. Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs chart. So it was a top 10 R&B hit and a top 25 hit on the Billboard Hot 100. So that's quite successful, especially for a neo-soul single, which isn't as commercial. The third single off the record was This Woman's Work. Now, Maxwell had always been performing This Woman's Work as part of his live sets since the beginning of his career, even covering the song for the release of his 1997 MTV Unplugged live album. And the song became such a popular live staple for him that he decided to re-record it in studio for his Now album, and it was officially released as the third single on January 15th, 2002. And it's widely recognized for being featured in the cult classic 2000 romantic sports drama film Love and Basketball, starring Sanaa Lathan and Omar Epps, and it has also been used in the reality dance competition shows So You Think You Can Dance and Strictly Come Dancing. It's a big contemporary dance hit song. It's been featured a lot in pop culture, so I'm sure even if you guys don't know who Maxwell is, look up This Woman's Work and I'm sure you're going to recognize the song. The music video was by Sanji, who had directed videos for Lauryn Hill and Mary J. Blige before working on this video for Maxwell. It begins with photos of Maxwell and this girl in black and white until one image reveals that she dies, and the next scene sees Maxwell seeing her ghost in the street and falls. As he proceeds towards her, he falls through the street into a watery kind of grave, and then he's swimming through it until he gets to her again across the street. The video sees him in a diner sitting next to two women who seem to also be grieving a loss. So the video ends with him walking outside that diner underwater, still drowning in his sorrows. It's quite heartbreaking for a truly heartbreakingly beautiful song. And I believe that Kate Bush's version is also associated with loss. So this song has those undertones to it. The song reached number 58 on the Hot 100 and number 16 on the Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs chart, while also charting at number 41 in the UK. A relatively moderate chart success, but it is a classic song and it is featured on every R&B playlist that you will ever hear. Frankly, it's beautiful and one of my favorite songs, his version over Kate Bush's.
You have a new album titled Now, coming out August 21st. Now,
I should call it Finally.
how long have you been working on that album?
Oh, it's been a minute. It should be called When, not Now. No, it's been a while, you know, but I'm just glad that it's right, and I'm glad that everyone's been patient for it, and I hope y'all enjoy it. You know, Now just represents living in the moment. For me, like, the first record was about looking back at what, you know, inspired me to make music. The second record was about looking to the future, about what music will be, and this is just about experiencing the moment and appreciating it for what it is. So I think I'm going to try to do some duets down the way, but mostly it's just, you know, love and, you know, and some boogie stuff and some funk stuff and some a little angry stuff too.
You got some angry stuff?
What kind of angry stuff
you got?
Oh, you know, y'all ladies be just causing stuff. So.
Hey, if you got a song like that, thank you.
You know, because when you want them, they don't want you. When you hear, you know the story.
Who doesn't want Max? Okay.
And what, you know, what's funny is like people look at the situation and they think, oh, you know, but it's like,
things become more of a challenge, you know, when things can, when opportunity is so much, then it's about a challenge. It's about meeting somebody who's seeing you as opposed to what you do and what you represent. So.
Maxwell promoted the album on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno and BET's 106 in Park, and he also embarked on the North American Now Tour in an effort to promote the album, and it consisted of 49 shows and ran from August 2001 to August 2002. Maxwell took the same producers who worked on the album onto the tour, including Hog David. I mean, that's what made the album so damn funky in the first place, am I right?
Well, this is my wish. If it was an ideal world, I'd be in Europe for like about 2 months, just beginning doing like little clubs and kind of impromptu performances here and there where people don't even kind of know until maybe the week before or whatever. Going to Germany and various places just to get the band kind of moving and then, you know, go back to the States for a minute and come back and go to Australia and Africa and every place you could imagine because, you know, I'm still like in my 20s and I kind of want to be able to have that under my belt, you know? I want to be able to say, okay, I played the world and okay, now Vegas, here I come, you know, I don't know.
I mean, I would love to see Maxwell in Vegas. Before the release of Maxwell's album, he performed an intimate show on August 6, 2001 in Detroit for the second of a series of small venue dates to promote the Now album. 7 of the 11 songs were performed there to a crowd of 1,000 people. It was kind of like the intro to his era. He just wanted to perform live. He wanted to be on stage. He didn't want to do all the talk shows. He didn't want to do all of this. He did a few, but he really wanted to be on stage. And Alicia Keys served as the tour's opening act. This was Alicia's first ever tour because she had just released her debut album, Songs in A Minor. Her song Fallen was a huge, huge hit. And so he was bringing her out on tour.
It's like a no-brainer. She's ill.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, she's intelligent.
Right.
She's talented. She's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And she makes it all work at the same time. So, what can you do? You got to put somebody out there to represent that for all the women coming up and the women out there right now. So,
right. And the guys.
The tour visited Detroit, New York City, where Maxwell performed in 7 different theaters across the city, from the Apollo Theater to the Beacon Theater to the theater at Madison Square Garden. It also visited Washington, Atlanta, Orlando, Toronto, Chicago, Philly, so many other cities. And he performed all 3 singles from the album and also did album cuts with As My Girl, Changed, For Lovers Only, and Now at the Party. For Lovers Only is dope.
I think it's about just having faith, you know? I mean, I struggle with that too, you know, because I worry, will things work? But when you let it go, it then it works, you know? So that's kind of how it's happened, and I like a low-key, a much more low-key kind of life than that. So maybe down the road for me, I want to bring this opportunity to the same opportunity that came to me to someone else who's just wants to make their own kind of music or wants to tell their own kind of story. So we'll see what happens.
At the 2001 and 2002 BET Awards, Maxwell was nominated for Best Male R&B Artist. He lost to Music Soulchild and Usher, respectively, but he still earned those nominations in a very competitive time in music. And the album Now received pretty much unanimously positive reviews from music critics upon its release. Entertainment Weekly's Tom Sinclair found Maxwell's new age spiritual musings to be outside the R&B mainstream, and he said that as mellowed out as much of the Now album is, it's definitely not oral wallpaper, but it is a cohesive effort that rewards repeated listenings. And BBC Music's Daryl Easley highlighted the cover of Kate Bush's 1989 classic This Woman's Work, as I told you guys is my favorite, while deeming the album grown up, frequently gorgeous music that epitomizes the very best in neo-soul. I love that. Now was Maxwell's last album before an 8-year hiatus, which he broke with the 2009 album Black Summer's Night with the song Pretty Wings, which I love. The Now album was incredibly successful, especially in the US, where it debuted at #1 on both the Billboard 200 and the top R&B hip-hop albums chart, and it sold over 296,000 copies in the first week. It has since been certified platinum for sales of over 1 million copies, and it placed at #88 and 178 on the Billboard 200 year-end charts for 2001 and 2002, respectively. And when he was asked about hitting #1 for the first time, he said, "It was so wild, I didn't expect it. I thought it might get a nice vibe, but not this. You believe me, right?" It hardly seems possible for all of us listening who know Maxwell, but Now was a comeback album for him. His first album was very successful, but again, Embryo was regarded as kind of a bust. So he needed this album to do well. When he was asked if the instant success of the album made him feel a sense of vindication, he said, "I can't lie, it does. I feel grateful that I had people around me who had patience and knew things would be okay. Not everybody has that luxury, and I'm really happy that this number one album came late, because then people aren't ready to hate you for it. When it's late in your career, it's a lot more accepted and understood. It's like hard work earned. When it's the first time out, people can be a little more skeptical." Everywhere else in the world, the album reached number 12 in Sweden, 21 in Canada, 32 in Australia and France, and 46 in the UK. And again, number one in the USA. So if you guys don't know this album, please, please give it a listen. Let me know what songs you love, and let me know if you have any other R&B albums that you would like for me to cover on the podcast for a short little episode. All right, you guys, I'll see you back next week with a new episode on Lindsay Lohan's Speak album. See you next week. Bye.